Having uttered these words, Beelzebub thought a moment and went on as follows. Now I wish to explain to you the expression, the building of the Tower of Babel, which I just used, and which is very often used on your planet by the contemporary three-brained beings. I wish to touch upon this expression and explain it to you, first, because I chanced to be a witness of all the events that gave rise to it, and second, because the history of its arising and its transformation in the understanding of your contemporary favorites can show you very clearly that thanks, as always, to the same abnormally established conditions of ordinary being existence, no exact information about events that have really occurred there among beings of former epochs ever reaches the beings of later generations. And if something like this expression does happen to reach them, their fantastic reason at once elaborates a whole theory on the basis of it, thus multiplying in their presence those illusory being ego plasticuri, or what they call psychic images, thanks to which there has arisen in the universe that strange, unique psyche which every one of your favorites has. Well, my boy, when we arrived in Babylon and began mingling with various beings and making corresponding observations in order to clear up the questions that had interested me, almost everywhere I went, I ran across those learned beings who were meeting in great numbers, and I began associating exclusively with them, confining my observations to them and to their individualities. Among the learned beings whom I often met for the sake of my aim was a certain Hamolinodir, who had been brought there under compulsion from Egypt. During these meetings between this terrestrial three-brained being, Hamolinodir, and myself, almost the same relations were established as in general prevail between three-brained beings who often meet one another. This Hamolinodir was one of those learned beings in whose common presence the factors for the impulses of a three-brained being, which had passed to him by heredity, were not entirely atrophied. And moreover, it turned out that during his preparatory age, the responsible beings around him had prepared him to be more or less normally responsible. I should add that at that time there were many such learned beings in the city of Babylon. Although this learned Hamolinodir was descended from the race of beings called Assyrian, and his arising and preparation for becoming a responsible being had taken place in that very city of Babylon, his knowledge had been acquired in Egypt, in the highest school of all those existing on the earth at that time, called the School for Materializing Thought. When I first met him, he was at an age when his eye, in the sense of intelligently directing the automatic psychic functioning of his common presence, had already attained the maximum stability possible for a three-centered being of the planet Earth at that time, so that during what is called his passive waking state, he had being manifestations that were very clearly expressed, such as consciousness of self, impartiality, sincerity, sensitivity, resourcefulness, and so forth. Shortly after our arrival in Babylon, I began going with this Hamolinodir to various meetings of the learned beings I have mentioned, where I listened to every imaginable kind of what they call report upon the very subject that was then the question of the day and the cause of such agitation of minds throughout Babylon. My friend Hamolinodir was also very wrought up about this burning question. He was agitated and perplexed by the fact that the numerous theories on this subject, the new as well as the old, were all, in spite of their entirely contradictory proofs, equally plausible and convincing. "The theories proving that we have a soul," he said, "were very logically and convincingly expounded. But equally logical and convincing were those proving quite the contrary." So that you can put yourself in the place of that likable Assyrian, I shall explain to you that in general, on your planet, then in Babylon as well as at the present time, all the theories on a question such as that of the beyond or any other detailed clarification of some particular fact are nearly always invented by those three brain beings in whom most of the consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabuffer have been completely crystallized, so that there actively functions in their presence that being property they call cunning. Owing to this, either consciously, of course, with that sort of reason which they alone possess, or automatically, that is, of itself, they gradually acquire in their common presence the capacity for spotting the weaknesses in the psyche of beings like themselves. And this capacity gradually forms data in them for the ability to sense, and at times even to understand, the peculiar logic of the beings around them. And according to these data, they invent and elaborate some theory concerning this or that question. And as I have already told you, because of the gradual atrophy of the being function called the instinctive sensing of cosmic truths, in most of the three brain beings there, also owing to the abnormal conditions of ordinary being existence established by them, if one of them happens to devote himself to an intensive study of any of these theories, he is bound willy-nilly to be convinced by it with the whole of his presence. Well, my boy, 7 of their months after our arrival in the city of Babylon, I went one day with my friend Chamul Nadir to what is called a general scientific conference. This scientific conference had been convened by the learned beings previously brought there under compulsion by the Persian king, who had meanwhile got over his craze for the science of alchemy and forgotten all about it. And there were also present at this conference many other learned beings from other communities who had come there voluntarily, as they said, for the love of science. At this general scientific conference that day, the order of speakers was determined by lot. My friend Chamul Nadir was among those who were to report on various topics, and therefore drew a lot. It fell to him to speak 5th. Of the speakers who preceded him, some reported on new theories they had invented, while others criticized theories already established and well known to everybody. At last came the turn of this likable Assyrian. He mounted what is called the rostrum, and as he did so, some attendants hung a placard above it announcing the subject of the speech to be given, as was the custom at that time. The placard stated that the speaker had chosen as his theme the instability of human reason. This terrestrial friend of mine began by explaining the structure, as he understood it, of the human head brain, and in what cases and in what manner various impressions are perceived by the other brains of man, and how it is only after a definite agreement among all the brains that the total results are impressed on the head brain. At first he spoke calmly, but the longer he spoke, the more agitated he became, until his voice rose to a shout as he began to criticize the reason in man. At the same time, he mercilessly criticized his own reason. Still continuing to shout, he very logically and convincingly demonstrated the instability and fickleness of human reason, giving various examples of how easy it is to persuade and convince this reason of anything you like. Although in the midst of the shouting of this terrestrial friend of mine, Chamul Nadir, the sound of his sobbing could be heard. Nevertheless, even while sobbing, he continued to shout. To every man, and also, of course, to me, It is quite easy to prove anything whatever. All you need to know is which shocks and which associations to arouse in the various brains while one or another truth is being proved. It is even easy to prove to a man that our whole world and all the people in it are nothing but an illusion, and that the authenticity and reality of the world are nothing but a corn, and what is more, the corn on the big toe of his left foot. Apart from this corn, nothing in the world exists. Everything only seems, and even then only to psychopaths squared. At this point in the speech of this likable terrestrial three-brain being, an attendant offered him a bowl of water, and after he had eagerly gulped it down, he continued to speak, but now more calmly. He said further, "Take myself as an example. I am not just an ordinary learned man. I am known all over Babylon and in many other cities as an exceedingly learned and wise man. I completed the highest course of study that has ever existed on earth, and the like of which will probably never exist again. And what has this highest development given my reason with respect to that question, which for the past year or two has been driving all Babylon insane? During this general dementia over the question of the soul, this reason of mine, in spite of its high development, has brought me nothing but 5 Fridays a week. Over this period, I have followed with the greatest attention and utmost seriousness all the old and new theories about the soul, and there is not a single one of them with whose author I do not inwardly agree, for all these theories are very logically and plausibly expounded, and such reason as I have cannot but agree with their logic and plausibility. I myself have written a very lengthy work on this question of the beyond, and no doubt many of those present are familiar with the logic of my thought, and probably there is not one of you here who does not envy this logical thinking of mine. Yet now I honestly and sincerely declare before you all that regarding this question of the beyond, I, with all the knowledge accumulated in me, am neither more nor less than an idiot cubed. At this moment, in the city of Babylon, what is taking place among us is the collective building of a tower by which to ascend to heaven and see with our own eyes what goes on there. This tower is being built of bricks that outwardly all look alike, but that are made of quite different materials. Among these bricks are bricks of iron and wood, and also of dough, and even some of eiderdown. Well then, with these bricks, an immensely high tower is now being built right in the center of Babylon, and every more or less conscious person must realize that sooner or later this tower is certain to fall and crush not only all the people of Babylon, but also everything else there. Personally, as I still wish to live and have no desire to be crushed by the Babylonian tower, I am going away from here at once. And as for all the rest of you, do as you please." He uttered these last words while leaving and ran off. And from that time, I never saw that likable Assyrian again. As I learned later, he left the city of Babylon that same day forever and went to Nineveh and existed somewhere there to a ripe old age. I also ascertained that this Hamilinidir never again occupied himself with sciences and spent the rest of his existence in growing chungari, which in contemporary language is called maize. Well, my boy, the speech of this Hamilinidir at first made such a deep impression upon the beings there that for almost a month they went about, as is said, down in the mouth. And when they met one another, they could speak of nothing else, but only recalled and repeated various passages from his speech. They repeated them so often that certain of Hamilinidir's expressions spread among the ordinary beings of Babylon and became what are called household sayings. Some of these sayings have even reached contemporary beings of the planet Earth, and among them is the building of the Tower of Babel. So the beings of today picture to themselves quite clearly that once upon a time, a certain tower was built in this city of Babylon to enable beings to ascend in their planetary bodies to God himself. And the contemporary beings also say, and are even quite persuaded, that during the building of this Babylonian tower, a confusion of tongues occurred. In general, there have reached the contemporary beings of the planet Earth a great many such isolated expressions uttered by various beings with reason of former epochs, both from the time when Babylon was the center of culture and from other epochs, concerning some details of a whole understanding. And simply on the basis of these scraps, your favorites of recent centuries, with their quite nonsensical reason, have cooked up such balderdash as our arch-cunning Lucifer himself might envy.